Long ago, sometime before the work was started in Mexico, the Presbyterian Church sent a minister down there to see if he could establish a church, a Presbyterian church in Mexico. So they had this man whose name was Manuel. They pronounce it Manuel. Actually, if you look at it in English, it's Manuel. You know, Emmanuel means God with us, but his name was Manuel. And I guess he must have been originally from Mexico, and he knew the Spanish well. So that's one reason why they'd have chosen him. So he went down there, and I think it was only about 2 years, and he already had a church established. He was very successful. He had a church established, and he also had a congregation and a building. So they were so pleased that from America they sent a high bishop to go and have the inauguration ceremony of the church. Well, he went down there, and so he preached on Sunday morning instead of Manuel. And apparently the sermon was absolutely beautiful. Manuel was so happy. It was a beautiful sermon, something like Solomon's prayer at the inauguration of the temple. You know, he really could do it well. So Manuel was so happy. He said, Bishop, tonight I wonder if you would mind speaking to the people again instead of me in the service tonight. So the bishop agreed, and that night he spoke again. But that night it was completely different. He started off by saying to the congregation, In the meantime, I have found out what your preacher's salary is here. Are you people not ashamed of yourselves that you couldn't give him more than that? And in any case, you should be collecting enough so that you can send something back to the Mother Church in California so that we can establish churches in other places also. What are you people doing here? And from the beginning of the sermon right through, he was just preaching money, money, money. Well, Manuel was shocked. And also, he was absolutely upset, because he was not that kind of a man. He wasn't preaching money in his sermons. He wasn't that kind of a preacher. So afterwards, he couldn't stand it anymore, because he just kept on with money, money, you know. So afterwards, he just spoke up, and he said, Bishop, now, would you mind telling us a little bit about Jesus, please? Well, the bishop was really flustered. He hadn't prepared anything like that, you see. So I don't know what he said, but he was flustered, and after a while he stopped. And after the service, he went to Manuel, and he was angry. He said, whatever did you mean by embarrassing me like that in front of all your congregation? What did you have in your mind? And here, I'm trying to help you. So Manuel said, but you were just preaching about money, and I thought it would be nice to hear something about Jesus. Well, you can imagine, the old bishop was not very pleased. Anyway, it was maybe a year or so later, I'm not exactly sure of the times now, but something like that, that this bishop came down again, and by this time a few other churches had been established. I don't know what year that was. And so he came to visit these churches to tell them some new doctrine of the church that they want to teach. And among other things, of course, he came to Manuel as well, and he told him, we have decided now, from now on, every time you preach, among the other things that you tell them, you must explain to them why you are a Presbyterian, and do it in such a way that you glorify the Presbyterian Church. Well, you know, Manuel didn't like that, and he was quite cheeky. And he said, I will do nothing of the sort. I will not glorify the Presbyterian Church. I will only glorify God. And if I have to tell the people why I'm a Presbyterian, I would have to tell them it's just because I don't know anything better. Well, that really made the bishop mad. And he said, look, if you're going to have this kind of an attitude, will put you out of the church, out of the pulpit. You cannot keep on like this, working against it like this. You cannot keep your job. Well, you lose your job. And Manuel said to him, I'm going to save you the trouble. You know, I've been thinking seriously about this for quite a while now, ever since you were here last time, and I've made up my mind already. Here's my resignation. Well, that gave him a shock. You see, if the bishop comes down there and all of a sudden somebody resigns, that's very bad for him. It doesn't look good for him. He said, no, don't take it so seriously. Can't you take a joke? Didn't you know I was just making a joke? Manuel said, it's no joke at all. As far as I'm concerned, there's no joke. I'm dead serious. Here's my resignation, and that's final. Well, that was it. So he quit the church. Well, so then for 4 years, he worked with his hands. Just got some kind of a job and worked with his hands. And then after 4 years, it happened that one day he was walking down the street in the evening, and he passed a small hall, and he heard some singing, some weak kind of singing, but it was hymns, and he wondered, what's going on here in this hall? And that was just after the first workers had arrived, you see. And they were having a gospel meeting. And Manuel walked in there, and there was not a soul except just the two workers. They had gone round to invite people, and nobody came. So they just sat there, the two of them, singing hymns, hoping somebody might come. And Manuel came in. Well, they could not exactly have a gospel meeting just for this one man. So instead they sat down and had a visit. They had a long, long visit. And Manuel had a lot of questions. So afterwards, of course, this is what Manuel told afterwards. After he'd had that visit with them, he went home and he thought to himself, well, now, this is exceptional. Every question that I asked those men, they were able to answer by saying, because that's what Jesus did, or because that's what the Bible says. And if I had something that I could answer every question by saying, because that's what Jesus did, or because that's what the Bible says, what could be more solid than that? So then he spoke to the people where he was staying. Apparently he just had a room in a house somewhere, just batching by himself. He was not married. And so they agreed, and the workers started gospel meetings there. And not long after they started the meetings, Manuel asked the two brothers to come and have lunch with him. He was going to prepare lunch for them in his batch. So they accepted, and they went and they had lunch. And after they'd had lunch, he said, I'd like you to come for lunch again tomorrow. They were quite surprised. And you know, he invited them for lunch every day for a week. And so they went. And then once again, afterwards, he told them, you two men did not know the reason why I invited you for lunch every day for a week. He said, but it was not because I was so interested in feeding you or showing my good cooking or anything like that. He said, actually, in all my long religious experience, I've never ever seen a minister and his assistant that could get on together. There's always trouble. And I knew what Jesus said, hereby the whole world will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And I wanted to watch you two men and see what was the attitude between you. And if I invited you once, you could hide it, put up a good show. But you did not know what I had in my mind. And if I had you every day for a week and there was some strain between you, I would pick it up. But after a week, I was satisfied. Well, that was fortunate, you know. So then he professed, and if I have it right, the couple where he had the room professed, and also a neighbor couple. And that would have been the first five people professing in Mexico. And that was Clarence Anderson and his companion. I don't know who his companion was. You know, Clarence's nephew is now the older worker in, not that he's old, but he's the responsible worker in Mexico now.
Alan,
that's right, yes. So at this time, Manuel was 60 years old, and he offered for the work, and they took him. You imagine, 60 years old. And yet, Clarence told us that he lived until he was 75, and he had 15 real good years in the work. He was with Clarence as a companion several times, and he said, really, he was an exceptional man. Just fitted in so nicely. But one interesting thing, when he wanted to go into the work, Clarence knew that this man had a lot of property. You see, he must have inherited it or something. I don't know how he came to have, but he had a lot of properties, several houses and apartments, I don't know what all he had. And of course that worried Clarence. So when he came to say that he's going into the work, Clarence said, but what about your properties? What about them? So he said to Clarence, he said, do you perhaps have a match? Now, I don't know if they had matches for lighting the stove, but they had a match and they brought it. Wonder what he's going to do with a match. And you see, at that time, there was a strange law in Mexico, and that is that what we call the title deeds for a property, that is the registration form, that is extremely important. And if you lose that form, the official form that shows that that's your property, then you have no claim to the property. And if you cannot produce that, then whoever is living on that property can just live there. They can have it, you see. So those forms, they keep them in a very safe place, because that's the only proof they have that that's their property. And that was the law. If you don't have those forms, then it becomes the property of the person that lives there. So he got this match. He took out all the title deeds of his properties, and right in front of the workers he burnt them. So then he said, are you satisfied? Well, of course they were satisfied. That was quite something. He said, now all my properties now belong to the poor people who live on them. So that's how I went into the work. That's the story of Manuel.